In our last class, we discussed An-Naqib al-Sabi', the seventh item among the things that destroys the Islam of the Muslim. The book we are reading is Nawaqib al-Islam. And among the things that destroys the Islam of an individual is Al-Sikr, sorcery, or magic. In that class, we explained the meaning of sihr. What does sihr mean? What does it mean linguistically? And what does it mean in Sharia? And we explained that it has different forms, to the extent that some of the scholars say that it's difficult to define it in the Sharia. But they give a general classification into two. The sihr that is connected to Arwaqa wal-Uqad, yani al-Nafasat. Sihr that is connected to tying knots and making incantations. That in those forms, they include istikdam al-jinn wa shayateen. Seeking the help of jinn and shayateen, devils, demons. So in those cases, the individual will make statements. After time not, will be making statements so as to invite jinns that the individual will employ to afflict the person he wants or she wants to bewitch. That is one form. And we explained that the ulama say that aspect of sihr is shirk. Any person who does that is committing shirk. The second aspect of sihr, broad categorization, is the sihr that is related to al-adawat wal-aqaqir, materials. Somebody mixes something together so that something happens to another person. And we explain that the ulama say this is kabirat min al-kabair. It is one of the mawbiqat, one of the most deadly sins before Allah. But it is not up to the level of the one who invites jinns to send them to afflict the individual. Although the most common, as we shall see today, inshallah, the most common aspect of sihr is the fourth category. The most common aspect of sihr is the category where people make uqad, they make knots, and begin to make incantations. Especially in this environment where we live, most of the people who employ these things, who employ jinns, they do so through incantations. So the ulama say the jinns could come and even come into their idols. Somebody keeps a molded image, and after conjuration, the image begins to talk. The image begins to speak. So all these are aspects of shirk vis-a-vis the shirk. And also we explained that sihr is real. Because some of the people say it's not real. That it is just mere takayulat, make believe. You are only thinking you are seeing. But ulama say sihr is real. And we gave a lot of examples. We mentioned some of them also in the last class. And we also discussed how do human beings get those incantations. When the person wants to make sihr, he wants to invite shayateen. Those things they say, how did they get it? So then we said, most of the matters connected to sihr are contained in one verse of the Quran. That by the time we explain that verse, many other issues around sihr will become clear. And that is the verse in Surah Al-Baqarah. So today, inshallah, we'll discuss that verse briefly, inshallah. and we try to explain somebody who is given to sihr, somebody who makes sihr, a Muslim, but he makes sihr, if he makes tawbah, will his tawbah be accepted? Will Allah accept the tawbah of a sahir? Some of the ulama say Allah will not accept their tawbah, like Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. So because when they make tawbah, you are not sure that they have made tawbah. The sihr itself is something we are not seeing, it is hidden. So how are you certain that the person has fully repented? Somebody you knew to be a sahir, he's never come to tell you he's a sahir. And even if he told you the sihr itself is something you don't see, you only see the manifestation of sihr. So if the same individual comes and says, I have repented, how do you know truly that he has repented or that she has repented? Because if you do not forget, we mentioned that sihr is common amongst women. And that's why, as some of the scholars have said, Allah used the word nafasa in Surah Al-Falaq. وَمِن شَرِّ النَّفَّاسَةِ, that this kalima itself has to do with women. So, if the person says he or she has repented from sihr, do we accept it as true that the person has repented? And then thereafter, inshallah, we will explain what the ulama refer to as al-nushra, removing sihr, and the two major forms of sihr being removed. Because the ulama say there are two forms, two ways sihr are removed. One way is allowed in the sharia, and the other way is haram in the sharia. In fact, can lead to more shirk by the one who attempts to remove it in that manner. So we try to explain these points, inshallah. So fourthly, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about Bani Israel. In Surah Al-Baqarah, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Pastor Israq, these are the portions where majority of what contains Ali Imran discuss a lot about Bani Israel. And in Surah Al-Baqarah, one of the things Allah mentioned about them, Allah said, وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ ولما جاءهم رسول من رب من عند الله. Allah said, when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now came to them, because Banu Israel, if we go to that verse, وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُو الشَّيَاطِينُ عَلَىٰ مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانَ, who are those الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا. Allah says, وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُو الشَّيَاطِينُ, and they followed what the devil passed on. They got it at the time of Suleiman and they passed it on. Who are those? You will understand them if you look at the verse that precedes that verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ, when a messenger now came to them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Banu Israel, during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they lived in Medina. They were living in Medina, and there were people who used to tell the Arabs that Allah will soon send another messenger. Some of them thought that that messenger will come from them, and some of them knew certainly that the messenger will come from the Arabs. So Allah says, وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ, when the messenger now came min indillah, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, musaddiqun lima ma'ahu, that the coming of the messenger was confirming what is in their book. It is in their book that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will come. When the Prophet now came, which confirms what is in their book, Allah said, nabadha fariqun min alladhina utul kitaba كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ. Some of these Banu Israel, they threw away. They didn't want to hear it, although they should hear it. Because your book had said it. It was only confirming what is in your book. But instead of accepting the message of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, nabadha wara abduri, they threw the message behind them. The ulama say, Allah said, they threw it behind them, wara abdurihim. Because if it were in front of them or by their side, they could still turn to it. But they made it a closed matter. You don't want to hear about Muhammad. So they threw the message behind them, Banu Israel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَعَنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُ. They are behaving as if they don't know. But they knew he was going to give the message, the messenger alayhi salam. The ulama say this is evident that sometimes when a person leaves what he should follow as true guidance, he turned it away. He turned away from it. If truly a bittiba'i ma'a guru, Allah will give him the fitna of following what will bring harm to him. If a person deliberately leaves truth, what he will hang on onto is falsehood. If a person refuses to spend his money in the cause of Allah, he will spend it in the cause of shaitan. If a person refuses to make ibadah to Rahman, to serve Allah al-Rahman, he will make ibadah in al-Rahman. He will serve idols. Any person who rejects falsehood, the bala, the trial Allah will give to him is that he will follow falsehood. If you reject the truth, you will be following falsehood. May Allah protect us. In fact, some of the ulama like Sheikh Islam ibn Taymiyyah, they explain that when a person deliberately leaves falsehood, Allah makes him go astray. As a consequence for leaving that truth, he deliberately leaves the truth. He sees the truth. He knows the truth. But he deliberately leaves it, Allah will make him to go astray. So when they left the message of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that was now, instead of following the wahyu from Jibreel alayhi salatu salam to the Prophet Muhammad, اتبعوا ما تتلو الشياطين على ملك سليمان. They followed what the shayateen passed on since the time of Sulaiman. The shayateen, they passed on some things during the time of Sulaiman. Because Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah gave him the power over the jinn. He says, وَسَخَّرْنَا لَهُ الرِّيحَ تَجْرِي بِأَمْرِهِ رُخَاءً حَيْثُ أَصَابُ وَالشَّيَاطِينَ كُلَّ بَنَّاءٍ وَغَوَّامٍ. Allah says, سَخَّرْنَا لَهُ الرِّيحَ. We made the jinns, we made the wind to be under the control of Sulaiman. Allah says, we made the wind, the breeze, to be under the control of Sulaiman. Allah says, tajri, the wind will move, the amrihi, according to his command. Rukha'an, in a calm manner, haythu asab. Wherever Sulaiman wanted the wind to go, that was where it went. If Sulaiman wanted the wind to go this way, it went. Wind, breeze. Allah says, washayateen, likewise the devils. فَخَرْنَا لَهُ. We compelled them to follow Sulaiman. And that's why in another part of the Quran, Allah was telling us, وَمَنْ يَزَغْ مِنْهُمْ أَنْ أَمْرِنَا يُزِقْهُ مِنْ عَذَابِ السَّعِيدِ. Amongst those jinns, the jinns, we gave the order that they should follow Sulaiman. مَنْ يَزَغْ مِنْهُمْ أَنْ أَمْرِنَا. Any one of them who refused to follow Sulaiman as we have ordered, نُزِقْهُ مِنْ عَذَابِ السَّعِيدِ, we made him to take severe punishment. And he says it also in Hiyara. That's why he says, وَالشَّيَاطِينَ كُلَّ بَنَّاءٍ وَغَوَّى. Allah made the jinns also to follow Shaitan, to follow Sulaiman. Whatever he ordered them, they did. They built houses for him. They built mansions for him. Ulama say, what they built, mankind cannot build it. Because the jinns have power, physical strength. They have abilities that can make them do so many things that we cannot do. So Allah says, وَآخَرِينَ مُقَرَّنِينَ فِي الْأَصْفَارِ. Some of them, Sulaiman tied them down. Maybe they committed a sin. He ordered them to do something, they refused. Sulaiman tied them down. So this control that Allah gave to Sulaiman was because Sulaiman begged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who use the jinns now, they want to behave like Sulaiman. But Allah has prohibited that because He has answered the dua of Sulaiman alayhi salam. He says, رَبِّ هَبْلِي مُلْكًا لَا يَنْبَغِي أَحَدٍ مِّنْ بَعْدِي إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. Oh Allah, make my kingship, make my rulership, make my sovereignty, my power. لَا يَنْبَغِي أَحَدٍ مِّنَ النَّاسِ مِّنْ بَعْدِي يعني. No human being can have it kind after me. And we are after Sulaiman. So why do you want to control, the jinns like Sulaiman did? So when Sulaiman died, alayhi salatu wasalam, those jinns started to spread these evil amongst the people. That should we tell you how Sulaiman was able to control us? They now give them these incantations and sessions. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said in their time that some of the Christian kings among the jinns will carry them to one of them who will be dressing and looking like Sulaiman. He said, you want to see Sulaiman? I will take you to see Sulaiman. I have heard this too when we are younger than this, that there are some things, incantations you will make. If you want to see Sulaiman, you will see Sulaiman. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said it was the jinns playing with the akhl of Nasara and Yahud. And that is why the Jews and the Christians don't count Nabi Sulaiman. The Jews and the Christians, they don't see Nabi Sulaiman as a Nabi. They saw him as one individual who was full of carnal desire. All he wanted was to relate with women, have a relation to women and all this. Because the jinns were deceiving them. Likewise, they deceived some Muslims that they have some things, some power they collected from Sulaiman. Some of the ulama say they put those things under the seat on which Sulaiman was sitting. So when the people went there, they saw it, they dragged it out. These kind of statements have no sound attorneys. What is correct is that those shayateen went to people to be deceiving them that if you want to be controlling us, don't forget, we had said that the most dangerous aspect of sihr is the sihr that people commit by making incantations and inviting the jinns. So the jinns go to them, if you want to control us, we tell you what Sulaiman was doing. And that's why also, when people want positions of leadership, they also go to the people of sihr. Because Sulaiman had power and authority. So they say to them, if you want power and authority too, there is something we will do. If you want money, there is something we will do. These are the most common things amongst those people. You want power, we do some things to you. You want money, we do some things to you. You want women, we give you some things. These are the things that were common at the time. So Allah says, وَتَبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُ الشَّيَاطِينَ. These lies that the jinns passed down since the time of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, the people, Banu Israel, began to follow them. They left the message of the Prophet Muhammad. وَتَبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُ الشَّيَاطِينَ عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانِ. They began to follow these things that the shayateen ascribed to Sulaiman alayhi salam. Allah says, وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانِ. But Sulaiman, مَا كَانَ سَاحِرًا. He was not involved in sorcery. One of the scholars, Al-Imam al-Shankiti rahimahullah, he said, if Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam had been someone who was making sihr to control the jinn, so that they could do what he wanted for him, he would have been a kafir. That's why Allah says, مَا كَفَرَ. He did not disbelieve. Because if he had done what these people are saying, لَكَانَ كَافِرًا عَشَابُ اللَّهُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. Do we understand? So Allah says, وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانَ. But Sulaiman, مَا كَفَرَ. He was not a sahir. وَمَا أَلَّمَ النَّاسَ سِحْرًا. Likewise, he did not teach people sihr. وَمَا تَعَلَّمَ السِّحْرَ. He did not also learn sihr. Allah says, وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا. But certainly, the people who disbelieve, who make sihr, who learn sihr, and who teach people sihr, are who? Shayateen. Why? Allah says, يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرَ. They were the ones who were teaching the people sihr. So the shayateen taught people sihr, not Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam. So the ulama said it means learning sihr is kufr. To learn sihr is kufr. Because Allah says these people disbelieve لأنهم يعلمون الناس السحر. They taught the people sihr. So they disbelieve. So to learn it, those who taught it disbelieved. Those who learned it also disbelieved. Likewise, those who practice sihr. Those who learn sihr. وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا. Allah said that this the shayateen, they disbelieve. يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرَ. Because they are teaching the people sihr. Ulama say it means to teach sihr is disbelief. But even when they taught people sihr, Allah said again, وَمَا يُعَلِّمَانِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ حَتَّى وَكُولَا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ سِحْرَ. That is about Harut and Marut. So we are bringing the ruling about teaching it and learning it. So when people learn it, they commit kufr. Because Allah says, وَمَا يُعَلِّمَانِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ حَتَّى يَقُولَا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَكْفُرْ. يعني لتعلم السحر. So تعلم السحر is kufr. تعليم السحر is also kufr. When a person is teaching somebody sihr, it is kufr. When a person is learning, it is also kufr. When a person practices sihr, it is also kufr, as explained. If the person's sihr is of the fourth category, I hope you get that point. This is the reason why it is very important that when you send children to our Arabic schools, as you have them, make sure you tell your son or brother or sister or whomever that he or she must not learn sihr. Because many of the afals in madaris, they teach them sihr. They teach the children, the students. They say, shola siri, and they call it asiri. It is sihr. It is sihr. They will be asking them, what do you have? You are not to come, what can I get from you? This issue of obtaining it and giving it are acts of kufr. The ulama said this kufr that Allah is talking about in this verse, they are kufr that take the person out of Islam. So parents will say they want their world to learn Islam. So they send them to Ilekew as we used to know it. Instead of learning Islam, they learn kufr there. How is that? So that is the reason why there must be complete change in our orientation to all of these things. Children, people come to so-called Ilekew because they want to learn Islam. Unfortunately, it is Asiri they go to learn. And when they graduate, they become Onigaladi. Yes, they start carrying around Subha, Tasbih. They hang it on their necks. They have a special room in their house. And they invite men and women to come and be visiting them like native doctors. That was what they learned in the madrasa. They are just practicing what they learned. They are just practicing what they learned. We are explaining it in this manner because these things are common in this environment we live. So let everyone be careful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرَ. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam did not commit this belief. But what happened was that it was the shayateen who disbelieved because they were teaching the people sihr. also وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا أُنْزِلَ عَلَى الْمَلَكَيْنِ. If you look at that verse, it says وَمَا أُنْزِلَ عَلَى الْمَلَكَيْنِ. Ulama say the option here goes back to وَاتَّبَعُوا Bani Israel. وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُ الشَّيَاطِينُ عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانَ. They followed what the jinns brought to them since the time of Suleiman. Do we get this point? The second thing they followed, وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا أُنْزِلَ عَلَى الْمَلَكَيْنِ بِبَابِلَ هَارُوتَ وَمَارُوتَ. The second thing Bani Israel followed when they abandoned the message of the Prophet Muhammad is what Allah said to us, مَا أُنْزِلَ عَلَى الْمَلَكَيْنِ بِبَابِلَ. Babil is a city in Iraq. I think the Christians call it Babylon. Allah sent two angels, Malakan, two angels. Their names were Harut and Marut. These two people, or these two angels, there are a lot of comments people have made about them. Some say they were angels who were bragging that Adam alayhi salatu salam committed the sin that Allah warned him not to commit. So because they bragged, Allah said, appoint to me from amongst yourself two representatives. Let me send them to the earth and test them too. They will fail as Adam failed. There are reports like these. The ulama say all these reports are lies and false. There are reports from Bani Israel themselves who are known liars. So we just hear them and leave them like that. We are not going to believe them. Harut and Marut, there is no authentic report from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam explaining the detail of their existence on the earth. The best of what we know about Harut and Marut that is clear is the one that is contained in that verse in the Quran. وَمَا أُنْزِلَ عَلَى الْمَلَكَيْنِ بِبَابِيلَ. We know that there are two angels. بِبَابِيلَ, they live in Babylon. Harut and Marut. And their names are what? Harut and Marut. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was sending these things to them. Allah sent it to them. And Allah told us, وَمَا يُعَلِّمَانِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ. When these two angels came to the surface of the earth, they told the people, yes, we have sihr. Allah is giving us, this is sihr. Take. This one does this. That one does that. If you do this, those also will happen. So those two angels, but they were a fitna to the people. So they will explain to the people, مَا يُعَلِّمَانِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ حَتَّى يَقُولَا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَكْفُرْ إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَتَعَلَّمُوا مِنَّا السِّحْرَى. We are a fitna to you. We are a trial to you. Allah sent those two angels as trial to those people. And Allah tries people as he likes. The Isra and Miraj of the Prophet Muhammad, it was a trial. Allah says, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الرُّؤْيَا الَّتِي أَرَيْنَاكَ إِلَّا فِتْنَةً لِلنَّاسِ. We have not taken you to the heavens to show you all of what we showed you, O Muhammad, except that we want it to be a fitna to people. Some people will believe it and they will be siddiqoon, like Abu Bakr and Siddiq. When the message came, the Prophet alayhi salatu salam woke up on the second day of Miraj and Isra. He was telling the people, I saw so and so, I went so and so. And Abu Bakr and Siddiq was told about it. Look at what your friend is saying. All he wanted to confirm was, did he say, if he said it, then it is true. Meanwhile, there were other people who were saying that it was a lie. So Isra and Miraj is also a fitna. It's a fitna, it will divide the people into two. Ahlul Iman wa Ahlul Kufr. Ahlul Sin wa Ahlul Arab. The people of Sidq, the people of truth, wa Ahlul Batil. Likewise, Al-Malakan, Harut wa Marut. They are also a trial. And Allah tries the people both with khair wa sharr fitna. He says, وَلَا نَبْلُوَلَّكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ fitna. So Allah tried the people of Babylon negatively with those malaika. with that trial, that those malaika will come with sihr. They will come with medicine. They will come to teach the people how to bewitch people. But they will be telling them, don't learn it. So when you learn it, you will be becoming a disbeliever. We are a fitna for you. It was a great fitna, my brothers. Imagine people practicing sihr, suffering, how to bewitch somebody, how to conjure a devil, a jinn, to do certain things. And yet, these are the people teaching them, telling them that, look, don't learn it or it's a fitna. But when you insist, we teach you. When you insist, you want, we teach you, and you become a fitna. On a very last note, some people say they want marijuana to be legalized. It was legalized in their country. In the first 24 hours, how many people died? Over 37 people. In one of the countries in America, they were saying, no, we want marijuana to be legalized. Let not the people be taking cocaine secretly and all these. They legalized it. The first 24 hours, 37 people had died. So it's a fitna. They want it, we say we want, okay, take. So that was how the people were saying to Harut and Marut, we want it by force. Give us, teach us. So but still they will be warning the people. That's why Allah said, وَمَا يُعَلِّمَانِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ حَتَّى يَقُولَا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَفْرُ. So Allah says subhanahu wa ta'ala, they warn the people that they should not disbelieve. Yet, فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُمَا مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَالزَّوْجِ. So they say, okay, you want to فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ التَّرْتِيبِ وَالتَّعْتِيبِ. After those people tell them, don't learn it, they still go back to them and say, okay, give us the one that we can use to separate between a man and his wife. When Allah had said that وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. So when the people want to destroy that mawadda and rahma between a husband and a wife, they employ sihr. Now the sihr they employ can be the sihr of the first category, which will involve the jinns. Because the jinns and shayateen, they also play a role in separation between husbands and wives. The jinns and shayateen, they play a role. If we remember the Prophet told us in Hadith in Sahih Muslim that the shaitan has a throne on the sea. And when he sends out his young ones and they come back to him, he will be asking them, you, what did you do? One will say, I got somebody to do particular thing. He said, no, you didn't do anything. So one will say, I got somebody to do anything. He said, you didn't do anything. Until the one who will come and say, مَا تَرَكْتُهُ حَتَّى فَرَّكْتُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ إِمْرَأَتِهِ. I did not leave the man until I was able to separate between him and his wife. So yes, you are the one who did the work. This is evidence that shayateen can come between a man and his wife. So sometimes when you start quarreling with your wife, be calm. Be calm. When you both start saying, until I divorce you, be calm. Perhaps shaitan is coming in between you. He will be suggesting to you what your wife can never do. And he will suggest to her what you can never do. So when suspicion comes in between the two, then there will be problem. Or the shaitan may even come in the form of man. As it did, Sheikh Usman ibn Taymiyyah explains that the shaitan deceived a lot of people in various forms. One of the scholars wrote a book and was mentioning one way that friends destroy marriage between a man and his wife. A man went to tell his friend, it happened in the Mamlaka. A man went to tell his friend that he saw his wife in the next flat. What is your wife doing there? I was on break, so he told me, Joe, he passed that. I thought, this is your wife. The man heard and fled off. And it was a lie. When he fled off, and they had caused disaffection between himself and his wife, that man and the rest of the friends began to laugh at him. We got him. These things like this happen a lot. A man will cook, a woman will cook a food for her husband. She's not a sahira. She does not do sahira. She does not do anything. But the shayateen can put something near the plate. So when the man comes, he sees something, he says, Umu, when did you begin to do sahira? Say, no, I was not the one. Say, you are not the one. Who served me this food? Trouble starts between the man and his wife. Various forms. A man would sleep, he had in his dream. He saw his wife holding a machete. She wants to slaughter him. It was Shaitan playing with him. Because the Prophet told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, in the hadith in Sahih Bukhari, a companion came and told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam that in his dream, he would see that his head was cut off and rolling in front. And as the head was rolling, he was running after the head. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, when the Shaitan plays with you, don't come and tell us. So the Shaitan can play with a man that his wife came with a knife to cut off his head. So that will lead him to do or manipulate. Say, Afa, please let me ask you what has happened. From one frying pan to the other, the person who pushed him out of the house was Shaitan. The place where he is going to, who is he going to look there? فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ. And those people have what? There are people, those afar, who will say to a woman, your husband is like this. At the end of the day, the woman will become their wife. They separate between her and her husband. All I'm trying to emphasize is shayateen too cause disaffection between a man and his wife in a good marriage. So people should be careful. Likewise, they also bring about connection between two people who have disaffection for themselves. So the woman will not explain what makes him like that kind of a man. The man too cannot explain the marriage. They just find that they just make themselves and they are together. All these things we are part of what Harut and Marut taught to the people. But each time they taught the people, they explained to them that إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَفْحِي فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُمَا مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ. But Allah says, وَمَا هُمْ بِضَارِينَ بِهِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. But those things they do, those sihr they make, Allah says, مَا هُمْ بِضَارِينَ بِهِ مِنْ أَحْدٍ. They cannot cause harm to anybody because of those things or through those things, إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, except by the permission of Allah. Ulama say, what kind of permission is that? Because Allah has two evenings, our irada, our mashi'a. Allah has mashi'a, his irada, his evening as-shari'i. Allah has evening as-shari'i. وَإِذْنُهُ الْقَوْمِ is even his permission. Like Allah permits us to eat rice and beans, but he does not permit us to eat pork. So his permission in that sense is legislation related. إِذْنُهُ الشَّرْعِ, his permission vis-a-vis legislation, that is, does he legalize it or not? So, إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ does not mean that Allah legalizes sihr. Because in terms of, in legal sense, Allah has told us that sihr is kufu. إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ is talking about إِذْنُ اللَّهِ الْكَوْنِ, what Allah has allowed to be in existence. As you have a snake, it's part of the reason of Allah in his creation. As you have a buffalo, as you have a lion, all these things are ordinarily dangerous to human beings. But from the permission of Allah, Allah makes them to occur. Meaning that even when those people making sihr make a sihr, it will not have effect unless it is from the things that Allah has designed for that person. It means the person you really need to run towards is who? وَمَا هُمْ بِضَارِينَ بِهِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. They cannot cause harm to anybody except by the permission of Allah. And it will make us understand that when an individual suffers from sihr, he should be patient, because he should know that if it were not with the evil of Allah, it would not have happened. He should be patient, because if it were not with the way, that is what Allah wants. Allah says, ma asabakum min musibatin fa bi idhnillah. In hadith, he says, ma asabakum min musibatin fil ard wa la fi anfusikum illa fi kitabin min qabli an nabra'aha. It means when a person is afflicted with sihr, he should not lose iman. You should know that it is what illa min kitabin min qabli an nabra'aha. Allah has written that it will happen to us. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they threatened him too. They said, we'll make fear against you, we'll do this, we'll do that. What did Allah say to him? He should say to them, la yusibana illa ma katama Allahu lana huwa maulana. Let me tell you, Allah is our protector. La yusibana, nothing will happen to us, illa ma katama Allahu lana, except what our Lord Allah has written for us, because huwa maulana is our protector. So every Muslim should have it in mind. It means the one who deserves to be feared is Allah. It means the one whose favor you need to be looking for is Allah. The one whose ayyanu you need to be looking for is the ayyanu of Allah. Because once you have the ayyanu of Allah, you don't have problems. When it happens, it's just like you have headache. If somebody has headache now, we don't feel anything. No, headache is normal. One. Two, we say, a headache could have happened to you because that's what Allah brought. So say, be patient. Now take medicine for headache. Take medicine for headache. And wallahi, brothers, sometimes if you take medicine for headache, the headache does not go until you make a ruqya. There is a brother like that. There are a lot of brothers there. They say, let's pray. Say, no, I can't pray. His head is disturbing him. Serious headache. So the rest of the brothers went to pray. According to brother, the brother, he had taken medicines, very strong Panadol in the morning and in the afternoon, no change. He said he felt that, I think there is something here. But he said he put his hands on his head and made ruqya. Before the brothers came, he stood up and they went out together. So the way we handle this case, that is the way we should calm down. It will not make us like to please anybody. Except who? Allah subhanahu. So when the people say, you have to slaughter a ram. When the people say, you have to do something. When the people say, I will come back to that under nushra. So, wa ma hum bidarina bihi min ahadin illa bi'iznillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa yata'allamuna ma yadurruhum wa la yanfa'uhum. Yata'allamuna ma yadurruhum. وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ بِسْتَحِرْ بِاللَّهِ يَذُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ. Ulama say this is evidence that there is nothing good about sihr. Or they say, there is nothing good about it. When he was talking about Al-Khamr wal-Maisir, he says, فِيهِمَا إِسْمُ أَبِي. And then they have left all. وَإِسْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِنْ نَفْعِهِمَا. It means something can be haram and still have some benefits. But it will be haram because the disadvantages are far much more than the advantages. Always, something can be haram, something can be haram and still have some advantages. But it is haram because the disadvantages outweigh the advantages. Meaning, anything now that the disadvantages outweigh the advantages are what? Haram. The Sharia will always make everything whose disadvantage is more to be haram, even if it may have advantages. But for sihr, it has no advantage at all. Allah says, وَيَفْعَلَّمُونَ مَا يَدِرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَفْعَلُهُمْ. What sihr will bring to them is not a harm. And he emphasizes again, he says, وَلَا يَفْعَلُهُمْ, and it will not bring any good to them. This is the reason why some scholars say, okay, should we not learn sihr? So that we can know how to explain sihr to people. Ulama say, يَدُرُّكُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعُكُمْ. They say, we want to learn it so that we can be explaining it to people. Some people do that. They say, you know, if you don't know it, how do you know what is bad inside it? Allah says, يَدُرُّكُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعُكُمْ. Any person who learns like that, sihr, who learns ogun, because he wants benefits from it, yes, we know that Allah says it is good. But at least there are some people, some things we should know about, so that we can be explaining to it. Allah says, it will bring harm to you and it will not bring any benefits. Because it will not now bring any benefits, it is prohibited for the Muslim to learn it, because learning it is what? Kufr. Because there are some scholars who say we can learn it. There are some among the scholars who say somebody can learn it. So when he learns it, he will be explaining the nullity, the evil inside this people, because he has the knowledge of it. Ulama say, Allah says, يَدُرُّكُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعُكُمْ. That person who is learning it himself will cause the harm of sihr. The second thing they say, مَا لَا يَتِمُّ الْحَرَامُ إِلَّا بِهِ فَهُوَ حَرَامُ. It is not possible that a person practices sihr except that he has learned it. So learning it is a first step towards practicing it. So if practicing it is haram, learning it is also haram, because it will lead to haram. So don't learn sihr under any guise. If you already know it before now, don't teach to anybody. Not even by way of giving examples, because you'll be falling into it. May Allah protect all of us. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمُوا لَمَنِ اشْتَرَاهُ. And the Banu Israel عَلِمُوا, they were well aware that what they do of learning sihr, مَا لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. They don't have anything, nothing, anything to gain on the day of Qiyamah. The ulama say, the person who does not have anything to gain on the day of Qiyamah is a kafir. The person who does not have anything to gain on the day of Qiyamah is a kafir. So this verse is also evidence that teaching sihr and learning sihr is what? Kufr. May Allah protect us from kufr. So Allah says, لَوْكَانُ يَعْلَمُ. If they had known. Ulama say they knew. They knew. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمُ. Here he says, لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُ. He said they knew. But the problem is that the knowledge they have does not benefit them. It's not the knowledge that brings about action. So it's as if they don't know. In fact, they are worse than those who don't know. Someone who knows but behaves like somebody who does not know is worse than the person who does not know at all. That's why the Banu Israel, Allah refers to them as what? مَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ. Those upon whom Allah's wrath is. But Al-Nasara, the Christians, Allah refers to them as what? Zalim. Those who are just ashamed. But the other people, Allah is angry with them. He's angry with them because they have knowledge and they act against knowledge. May Allah protect us from that. Never ulama say, when they say, Allahumma allimni مَا يَنْفَعُنِي, O Allah, teach me what will benefit me. That is, give me knowledge that I can use to walk. Give me the knowledge that I can follow what I know. يَنْفَعْنِي بِمَا عَلَّمْتَنِي. Make it easy for me to follow and act upon what I have learned already. وَزِدْنِي عِلْمًا. So Banu Israel, that was how they were. And from the wickedness he had about sihr was that they made sihr to the Prophet Muhammad. From the wickedness of Bani Israel was that they made sihr to the Prophet himself. And the sihr affected him for 60 days. Initially the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ignored it. And the way he was feeling was, he will feel like having some things to do with his family, but he's not with them. So he started feeling uncomfortable, alayhi salatu wa sallam. Aisha radiallahu anha said, on that day, when everything became loose, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Harun. She said, فَدَعَى ثُمَّ دَعَى ثُمَّ دَعَى. The Prophet was praying, until once he just called Aisha radiallahu anha that Allah has answered my prayer. What was it? He said, two men came to me. One stood by my head and the other by my feet. There were two angels, Jibreel and Mikael. One stood Jibreel on his head side and Mikael on his feet side. So he was asking, what has happened to this our friend? The one on the feet, Mikael, was asking Jibreel, what happened to this our friend? By way of telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam what has happened. He said, Tubba. That is, he has been bewitched. His man Tabba, who was he that did sihr to him? And he mentioned the name, Labid ibn al-Aswam, al-Yahud. The man's name is Labid. He collected the hairs of the Prophet Muhammad and some hairs that were remaining from the comb of the Prophet Muhammad. He tied okal, he made nafasat, and he threw it into the well. And to break those things loose, those two angels came with the suratain, mu'awwizatain. When they read, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ, one of the knots untied. It was said that the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam will feel a pain as it's untied, alayhi salatu wa salam, and then you feel relieved. مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقِ, another one will untie. He will feel an instant pain, and then he will feel relieved. And then on, until they reach the end of Surah An-Nas. And then the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa salam, مَا تَعَوَّدَ مُتَعَوِّذٌ بِمِثْلِهِمَا عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. مَا تَعَوَّدَ مُتَعَوِّذٌ بِمِثْلِهِمَا. There is no person seeking protection from all of these that has anything better than Falak and Nas. The Prophet Muhammad, he said, مَا تَعَوَّذَ مُتَعَوِّذٌ بِمِثْلِهِمَا. In another way, it says, مَا تَعَوَّذَ الْمُتَعَوِّذُونَ بِمِثْلِهِمَا. Those who seek protection from Allah, they don't have anything better than the two of them, Falak and Nas. In some riwayat, it was reported that the Prophet had adhkar he used to read before Allah revealed Falak and Nas. When those two were revealed, he stopped and he was reading only Falak and Nas. Each time he sought protection from Allah, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ وَمِنْ شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبَ. But the fact is, many of the Muslims today, when they, we'll come up to this point, maybe in the next one. Many of the Muslims, when they come back to you, start, so for us, they say, be reading Falak and Nas. You say, only Falak and Nas. And that is the best thing you have. Only Falak and Nas. No any other thing. But the Prophet said that is the best, alayhi salam. He himself, that was what Allah gave to him. What Allah gave to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Falak and Nas. And he says there is nothing like them. So when you say Falak and Nas, you are only this one. May Allah protect us. So that is that verse in Surah Al-Baqarah. The other point we like to make is that
Whoever is now involved in sihr, you have known it before. You went to a cave or you grew up among native doctors, especially in the hinterland, in villages and hamlets. Usually those who go to villages and farms, they learn all these things. I was told that there are even the different kinds of beings. There are those who live inside the woods, Yorubas call them Oro. And there are those who carry mats about and cry. What are those ones? Ebere. Ebere. Ebere is the one who carried them away. You see, all those things are connected to what Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam was upon. But you see, it is what the shayateen now brings to them. They say that Ebere has a mat. When you collect that mat, they use it to make a merchant to have money. So when they do that, the one from whom they collected the mat will now come to the house and start crying, give me my mat. So that's why they say sometimes they build a house, they build this, they build that, they cannot live inside the house because of crying. So it is because they are looking for money. But did Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam use any mat to look for money? Yeah. Allah says, ma kafara Sulaiman. Sulaiman did not practice sihr. Walakinna shayateena kafara. Some of the people can come and give you their own take after consultation and after shirk. So, all these things are acts of kufr. If a person has learned all these things and now he wants to repent, will Allah accept the repentance? Like we said earlier, some of the ulama say Allah will not accept it because you have been doing it secretly, even when you claim to be a Muslim. We did not know. So how are we going to trust you now? Because somebody who is a sahib, although we intend to come back to that, somebody who is a sahib, you don't open up to him in all your affairs. And I think that's why there's widespread deceptions among Yoruba. They hardly open up to themselves. The average Yoruba man will tell you he's going here, but he's coming here. You say, you don't tell people where you are going. Because they are afraid of the next person, he may make sihr against them. So if we know somebody who is a sahib, one way or the other, he got known. And he now says, I have repented from sin. Are we going to accept that? Yes, he has repented. But the rest of the ulama, like Al-Imam al-Bayhaqi, they say, yes, we should accept that he has repented. Because even those Sahara of Fir'aun, the people of Sihir, that Fir'aun went to bring against Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, at the end of the day, they accepted the message of Musa alayhi salam. And Allah accepted their tawbah. And Imam al-Bayhaqi in Sunan al-Kubra, he said, rahimahullah, kafaka bi sahrat fir'aun wa qissatihim fi kitabillahi azza wa jalla fi qabuli tawbat as-sahir. That is sufficient for you. Don't be looking for evidence. Will Allah forgive Sahara? Allah will forgive them. What is the evidence? Because Allah forgave the Sahara of Fir'aun. When they were defeated by Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah is Al-Hakim, Al-Alim, Al-Khabir. When he called Musa alayhi salam, he asked him, what do you hold? What are you holding? وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُسَى. He said, هِيَ عَصَايَ أَتَوَكَّأُ عَلَيْهَا وَأَهُشُّ بِهَا عَلَى غَنَمِي وَلِيَ فِيهَا مَآرِبُ أُخْرَى. Allah says, فَأَلْفِهَا. Throw it on the ground. Go. He said, فَإِذَا هِيَ حَيَّةٌ تَفْعَى. When Musa alayhi salam threw his staff and it became a big snake, in another place it's Thu'ban, big snake, Do you know Musa alayhi salam ran away? Allah said he was running away. Walam you achieve, he did not look back. Musa, he was the staff, he sees the guy, he saw his neck come up like this, he was running away. Allah says, Walam you achieve, Musa did not come back. He was running through Musa alayhi salam. Next, he started running. Allah said, come back, come and pick the snake. At that time, Musa did not know alayhi salatu wa salam that if he went back to Fir'aun, the decision that the people of Fir'aun will do is the decision of a snake. Musa did not know that he is going to face the decision of snake. And Allah trained him about snakes. He only knew what he could do. Alayhi salam. And when they threw down the snakes, those people. And that's why, my dear brothers, we need to really be close to Allah and be making al-kaf a lot. When the Sahara of Fir'aun threw down Allah says, they asked Musa alayhi salam wa salam, should you throw first or we should throw? It says, Bal al-Qu. Musa alayhi salam said, you should throw your own. So when they threw it, Allah says, فَإِذَا حِبَالُهُمْ وَعِصِيُّهُمْ يُخَيَّلُ إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهَا تَسْعَى. These threads and the strings that you were looking to Musa as if they were moving. They were about 15,000. And imagine 15,000 snakes coming towards your direction. فَأَوْجَسَ فِي نَفْسِهِ خِيفَةً مُوسَى. Musa was afraid. كُنَّا لَا تَخَفْ. He said to Musa, he knew he had a staff that will change to a snake. And he knew that it was sihr. Yet, the Sharia grabbed him, alayhi salatu wa sallam. He was scared. So if you see a brother, sometimes some people make a sihr, and he was scared, don't say, oh, you have become a kafir. That care is a normal human care. You can see Babalawo will do something now, he says, ha! The only thing is, make sure you are able to get back yourself. Allah told Musa alayhi salam, la takhaf, innaka antal a'la. Don't be afraid, you will defeat them today. And when he threw his own staff, it began to swallow all of what they had done. إِنَّمَا صَنَعُوا كَيْدُ سَاحِرٍ. All of what they had did were plot, evil plot, a tale of the sahir. وَلَا يُطْلِحُ السَّاحِرُ حَيْثُ وَعَدَ. And every sorcerer, every magician will never succeed. Allah said so. When you see them practicing sorcery and they don't defend, you will see when they die, their life will be jaga-jaga. They will live a very bad life. They will regret. Go back. All the Babalogos that you know, go and look at how they ended. Just go back. Ask people if you don't know about his to come. Do you know any Babalogos? How did he end? Likewise, our power. Did somebody not tell us in Nigeria that he's Jabbar? Did he not tell us that he sees Allah? He makes meeting with Jibreel. He talks to Anbiya. He talks to Suleiman. Sometimes on the field, I saw this one. He will say he has Jibreel on his right and Mikael on his left. He can be telling the people, shift, shift, shift. Jibreel wants to sit down. وَلَا يُطْلِحُ السَّاحِرُ حَيْثُ أَتَى. The sorcerer, the magician will never succeed wherever they go to. The day for one night he changed, did he not know that day? Jibreel didn't tell him, Mikael didn't tell him. So the end badly. Allah said, وَلَا يُطْلِحُ السَّاحِرُ حَيْثُ أَتَى. That is the reason why individuals, anybody who is already practicing sihr should abandon sihr. Because Allah says, وَلَا يُطْلِحُ السَّاحِرُ حَيْثُ أَتَى. Wherever and whenever,
the person practicing sorcery will never succeed. They will never succeed. They will never succeed. So, when those Sahara of Fir'aun saw what happened, Musa's snake was just swallowing, kicking and swallowing their snake. They say, Amanna bi Rabbi Musa wa Harun. We believe in the Lord of Musa and the Lord of Harun alayhi salam. And Allah accepted their tawbah. That is evidence that when a person practicing sihr now turns in repentance, and we see that he has actually turned in repentance, that repentance is acceptable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a way of the third issue, removing sihr. We say there are two ways. One of the ways is allowed and the other way is haram. The one that is haram is what we will discuss. It is haram to remove sihr using sihr. Sometimes people say somebody is bewitched. They go to another witch so that they can remove the bewitchment from the bewitched. It is prohibited in Islam. It is prohibited to look for solution for sorcery from a sorcerer, from many angles. From many angles. Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari radiallahu anhuma asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or he said that su'ila rasulu alayhi salatu wasallam. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasallam was asked anin nushra, about an nushra. An nushra is somebody using sihr to remove sihr. One of the ways they do that is the jaju, when a jaju in Yoruba land, they will do what they call in English cauterization. They use a razor blade to cut the person. And they have some things they have and they put it on that. There are other things. They say osho tutu. A tutu is also a means of removing sihr, but it is also involving sihr. A tutu is a way of removing sihr using sihr. That is also part of what? An nushra. Likewise, they say the person could go and feed certain number of people. The person should fry akara. The person should buy agidi. I know a Muslim sister, alhamdulillah, she's now in the covenant. Her father followed her. When they did the thing, they said she should carry a ball on her head. And she did it. When he could be a ball. She's now a sister, Nicole. When she remembers these things now, she cries. And the father was following her. Fortunately, before she got to the place she was supposed to drop it in the midnight, she threw it away. At that time, she did not know Islam. So there are things like this. And Afa, wearing white galadia and cap, can tell you to do it. And Alufa can tell you to do it. And Alufa in the church can tell you to do it. All the three of them, they are the same. Afa, Alufa, and Alufa, they are all the same. Whoever the person is, it is not allowed in Islam to remove sihr using sihr. Because Allah says, وَلَا يُفْلِحُ السَّاحِرُ حَيْثُ أَتَى. The person who makes sihr will never succeed wherever he is. So if you use sihr to make sihr, Allah says you will not succeed. You have just come from fire to fire. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَجْعَلْ شِفَاءَكُمْ فِي مَا حُرِّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah has not placed your cure in something that has been made prohibited for you. If sihr is prohibited and it is actually prohibited, then seeking for solution inside sihr is also what? Prohibited. And that prohibition may be shirk if the melt of sihr employed to remove that sihr
is a form that involves shirk. If it's a form that involves a thing that is haram, it's also haram. Do you understand? If a person tries to remove sihr using sihr, the ruling of that action is according to what they did. If it is shirk that they try to remove, they use to remove that sihr, then what they have done is also a shirk. But if it is something that is haram, don't forget, we classify sihr into two forms. The sihr that is connected to shirk, and the sihr that is connected to what? Haram, muharramat. I hope this point is clear. The other point is those aspects of al-nushra that is allowed. The way to remove sihr that is allowed. What are those ways in the Sharia? And how does a Muslim avoid being affected by sihr? And if a person is inflicted by sihr, should he go back to the person that he thinks or knows that is the cause of that sihr? This thing is common in Yoruba land. Before they go back to that person to beg the person, it is not allowed. Although one of the scholars said it is allowed. Especially if we are in Islamic community, the person should be arrested and handed over to police. So the police will tell him to reverse what he has done. And immediately after that, the Islamic State will kill the person. Because the punishment, the legal punishment for sihr in an Islamic State, don't forget, underline it. It's not that individuals will start looking for them to say, you want to kill them, no. It is something that the government will implement like a capital punishment. Sihr is a capital offense. If a person commits sihr, is liable to be killed in an Islamic State. So one of the scholars says we can do that, but the other say we should not. Don't beg a person who makes sihr to another person, please, 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 no. When the Prophet was told that it was Labid ibn al-A'tam that made sihr to him, the Prophet did not beg him. What he did was what Aisha told us, radiallahu anha. Fada'a, thumma da'a, thumma da'a. Fada'a, thumma da'a, thumma da'a. The Prophet prayed and prayed and prayed. Despite the fact that he had known that it was Labid, he did not go back to Labid. In fact, in some riwayat, he did not tell Labid. He did not tell him, let's say, you are doing all these things to me, and he goes, no. He was just sitting alone to find a word. Because they are brothers. Sometimes, when you tell them, you make them feel that you are free from one form of sihr, they will make another one. One of the scholars said that is the hikmah in not telling them, not letting them know that you know that they did a sihr and Allah has killed you. Don't tell them, don't ask them, don't say anything, just leave your home. Don't beg them. That is the summary. Aisha radiallahu anha had a slave, a girl. That girl played sihr against Aisha. Her body began to be very hot. This again is in Al-Adab al-Mufrad of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. When Aisha called her, come, you may feel against me, she said, yes. She said, I will show you. You know what Aisha did, radiallahu anha? There is a tribe among the Arabs who, when they have a slave, that slave works like a madman. They give the slave hard labor. Aisha sold that slave to those people cheap so that she will go and face hard labor. But the point we want to raise from that is she did not start to beg her, please, please, remove it. Then that one said, okay, if you want me to remove it, go and bring 4 liters of crude oil, 4 liters of lard. Because the reason why we must not beg them is because it did not cost harm in the first place, illa biiznillah. So the person you should return to, who allowed this to happen, is who? So why do you go to him when you have Allah? Or why do you go to her when you have Allah subhanahu? So what we need to do, like we mentioned, Allah, is to make dua and make dua and make dua. What are those dua to make? How are we going to make them? When are we going to make them? We'll discuss them in our next class, inshallah. May Allah make it easy for us. As far as dua, there are also things of medicine that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recommended in the matters of sihr. Medicine. Things you can eat or drink. Some of them have been recommended by the pious predecessors, the Sahaba and Tabi'un. We'll mention some of these things, inshallah, in our next class. May Allah make it easy for us. May Allah protect us against sihr. Can a woman be making a particular dua to be able to see Allah's pleasure in the process of pleasing her husband? Yes. It is one of the best things a woman can do to get the pleasure of Allah. When she pleases her husband, she gets the pleasure of Allah. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, إِذَا صَلَّتْ إِمْرَأَةٌ صَلَاتَهَا وَصَوْمَتْ صَوْمَهَا وَرَضِيَ عَنْهَا زَوْجُهَا دَخَلَتِ الْجَنَّةِ. When a woman performs her salat and she fasts her Ramadan and she pleases her husband, she will enter al-Jannah. So seeking the pleasure of husband is one of the highest ibadah a woman can make. Unfortunately, many women don't do it. They want to please themselves. And women don't know that the more you attempt to please your husband, the more your husband likes you. Yes, the way to access the heart of a man is by pleasing him. When you please him, you have him. When you please a man, you have the man. I assure you. When you please a man, Arabs have an adage. They say, "Jubilat innaf an tuhabbiba man ustina ilayha." The soul of man is created to love whoever is nice to him. Nobody will ever be nice to you and hate that person. That's why ulama is one of the best things for sihr. If you know somebody don't feel to you, be nice to that person. It will break the sihr. It's one of the things ulama say. Be nice to the person. If somebody has hasad against you, be nice to him. It will break the hasad. Don't tell him that you have hasad against me. You will see what I will do to you. Go and carry a hatchet. Now me and you today, laugh. Be nice to him. Show him goodness. It will spoil all those things the person is doing. May Allah protect us. Please, if there's any other dua, I want you to tell me, dua to make you please your husband. That is the dua. I will be making dua. Oh Allah, make my husband be loving to me. And make me be loving to my husband. One of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Maimuna, she used to make that dua. The hadith is in Sahih Muslim. That, oh Allah, make the Prophet be loved, make my husband Muhammad alayhi salam, make him love me and make me love him. And then make me live for as long as I can please him and all that. The Prophet heard alayhi salam and told her that why are you asking Allah for something that is already predetermined? That is because she was asking for long life. But the aspect of her begging Allah for the love of the Prophet and the love of her for the Prophet, that one was not contradicted. That one still remains. The aspect that the Prophet contradicted and asked her to change is the aspect of asking for long life. Do you understand? It's the aspect of asking, let me live. Okay. Why not ask Allah? You are asking Allah about something that He has already decided. But the aspect of, oh Allah, make my husband to love me and make me love my husband, that one still remains. Ulama say this is evidence that a woman can sit down in her tahajjud. Oh Allah, make my husband love me, make me love him. Oh Allah, make my husband love me, make me love him too. But I'm sure this is rare now amongst you. Very rare. May Allah make it easy for them. Some men too need to be begging Allah for their wife. If you have a good wife, you don't like to lose her. So you'll be begging Allah. Oh Allah, keep me keep my wife for me. Wallah, keep my wife for me. May Allah protect us all. Is it allowed to learn or teach about stars? I think he's talking about astrology at Tanjim. Tanjim astrology has two aspects. The ulama says it has two aspects. Ilmu taysir, ilmu tasmir, the study of the movements of stars. This is allowed. And the aspect that is used to make fortune telling, this one is haram. So that aspect, learning about stars, how do stars move, where is star so, where is it going tomorrow, those ones are allowed. But to learn about stars so that you can say what will happen tomorrow, that one is haram. And they are both from the aspects of astrology. In a company where we have Muslims and non-Muslims, and the owner of the company is a Muslim, can he give bonus money to celebrate festivals to non-Muslims as he used to do to Muslim brothers during their festivals? No, he should not do it. If you give them something to celebrate the festival, you are supporting that festival. Let it be known from the beginning. As a Muslim, you are asking for the rule of Sharia? No. If you give them during Eid al-Qadir as benevolence, as part of extending khair to them. Let me tell you, that is what the Christians will do to you too. How many companies in the world give gifts to Muslims during Eid al-Qadir? How many? But during Christmas, all of them will give. When Muharram, first of Muharram comes, how many companies give gifts to Muslims? So don't think that you are doing anything. You are not doing anything. You are not being unfair. You are just being principled. So when you give the Muslims during Eid al-Qadir and Eid al-Fitr, give non-Muslims too. So there will be no complaint during the time of Christmas. Because when you give a gift to a non-Muslim during the time of Christmas, in fact some of the scholars consider it as from the aspects of kufr, like Al-Imam Abu Hanifa. So it's not correct. Don't give a gift to non-Muslims during non-Muslim festivals. Is it allowed for someone doing prophetic courage for people to tell the person that is possessed that he or she shouldn't do a particular job or go out at a particular time? It depends. If a woman is, the one, the person who is making, there are also adabs for rukia. What is common is that you see men doing rukia for people's wives. It's wrong. You see men doing rukia for sisters that are not married. It's wrong. It is wrong. We have heard and seen. Sometimes a woman misbehaves. Yes, I've heard it before. The brother said it to me. I was doing rukia to the sister grabbed him. I said, oh, your ignorance would have landed you into haram. He said, wallahi, if not because I thought that all my deeds would be wasted in this dunya, I would have fallen. I said, I would have really fallen into a fire, truthfully. So don't put yourself, وَلَا تُلْكُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهَلُكَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُمْ رَحِيمًا. Allah is pleased with you. Don't, and I've shown you mercy. Don't bring yourself into destruction. The men should not make rukia for women. There are women now. When we are shouting, people should be memorizing Quran, memorizing Quran. Many women have memorized Quran now. Alhamdulillah. You can get a woman to recite Quran. Not necessarily Baqarah, but Baqarah is one of the best. Inshallah, in our next class, we mention all these things. One of the best aspects of making rukia is by reading Surah Al-Baqarah. And one of the best aspects of Baqarah is Ayat Al-Kursi. That was the mankali the Prophet ﷺ gave to Abu Huraira. where the shaitan was disturbing him. We'll mention all these things, inshallah, in our next class. So a woman that is affected may be told, look here, don't go out without hijab. All these things affect women who don't wear hijab a lot. Women who fight, these things affect them. Women, there are women who fight. They fight everywhere they're going, they are fighting. They may be possessed. Women who expose themselves too often, they may be possessed. Likewise, men and all these. So if you are told, don't do this again, it's allowed. Maybe you are eating a food that is haram and you are told, don't eat this food again. It's good for yourself. But if it is an afad or an alufa or an alufa in the church that tells you, don't eat gari, don't eat amala, don't eat fomo because they are doing rukia, you should know that that person is making for you haram what Allah has made halal. And Allah does not want that. You must harimu ma ahallallahu lakum. Tamtazi mardata azwadi. Ya ahlal kitab, la tuharrimu tayyibati ma ahallallahu lakum. Wa la ta'tadu. Inna Allah la yuhibbul mu'tadin. Wa kulu mimma razaqakumullahu. Halalan tayyiba wattaqullaha. This is what Allah wants. So don't allow anybody to tell you, don't eat Maggi, don't eat, if they carry out medical tests and find out that the salt, either sodium or anything in your body is too much, because of that, don't eat salt, don't eat Maggi, those ones are different, because you can prove it, you have excess, so you reduce it. But someone says, don't eat amala, don't eat sebo, don't eat meat, don't eat this, just by way of making those things look holy to you because they say you have been bewitched or something, avoid it. In Rukia, there is no don't eat there. Rukia is, you bring the person and recite Quran to the person. The Prophet himself did Rukia alayhi salatu wasalam. A woman came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the hadith is in Sunan Abi Dawud and it's authentic. She said her child misbehave, he will just fall on the ground and he will begin to shake unconsciously. The Prophet said, bring the boy. When they brought the boy, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam beat the chest and said, Ukhruj minhu, go out of him. Ana Muhammadun Rasulullah. I am Muhammad, the messenger of Allah. And that was the end. The boy was killed. For the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was sufficient to say, go out, I'm Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. But for we, we'll be reading Ayat al-Kursi, we read Surah al-Falaq, we read Surah al-Nas, we read. And it is not proposing that now, as we are reading it, it will go. Just like when people have illnesses, it is not now, when they take medicines, that it will go. They have 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days. Those are for illnesses that have to do with the body. What about illnesses that have to do with the soul? So it needs somebody to be calm. And it may go immediately, depending on the person making the rukia, and depending on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed for that individual. It may go immediately. We said the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he wasn't doing it, he was not thinking, this thing will go later. He did not go for 6 months. Before he took in that, look, I have to do something now. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So, when those things are done, we should be calm and expect and hope in Allah. Not even in the person doing the ruqyah. Don't hope in the person doing the ruqyah for you. Your hope should be in Allah. Those people who make ruqyah, that should be what they will be telling the people. Don't rely on me, rely on Allah. It is Allah that will cure you. It is Allah that will remove your illness. It is Allah that will break the sihr. But the means by which Allah does that is just what I'm doing. Sabbath alone. But what really happens, what really takes effect, is with who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't let anybody start telling you, don't drink zaitun, don't sit down on the table, don't stand up while praying. All these things are things that people have gathered for themselves. We take the last question, inshallah. Today all the questions are those that we are reading.
what is your preference of alayhi salam to sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because it is well known in books and scholarly work. Explain.
Alayhi salatu wa salam and sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are the same. What you find is just taqdeem wa ta'khir. That is bringing something forward, bringing something backwards. The same way you find sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the books, that is the way you also find alayhi salatu wa salam in books. But both the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What you must do in salat to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that salat and salam must be there. You can't say alayhi salam to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you can't say alayhi salat or alayhi salam alone. The two must come. Because what Allah commanded us to do is sallu alayhi wa sallim. So once you have sallu and salat and salam, you don't have problems. So if you like say alayhi salatu wa salam, you are correct. If you like sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are also correct. Any of them is correct. And they are both all available in, they are both available in the books. They have been used widely by the scholar. But the best thing is not to stick to one. The best thing is to do this one, do that one, do this one, do that one. That is why sometimes you hear me say alayhi salatu wa salam, sometimes I say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What about giving a gift for New Year in your workplace? I think these are the rejection of sadaqah. It's not sadaqah, it's hadiyah. Is a gift, hadiyah. Should you accept if you are giving? We'd mention it. That one of the ways of making the people understand that we are not with them. Look at it this year. They didn't say Merry Christmas to anybody. We did not observe. Maybe they heard some of what we said. Do you understand what I'm saying? This year they didn't say Happy New Year to all. The way they write it everywhere in the town. They did not say it this year. They didn't even say Merry Christmas. They said, they wrote it somewhere? Where? The prayer, what is prayer? To who? You know, we wish you all Merry Christmas. Wishing everybody they stop it. Let's tell them to stop it. Each time you have any opportunity, tell them, hey, you stop it. Wish yourself. We wish Christians Happy New Year. We wish Christians Merry Christmas. No problem. But we Muslims don't wish us. We don't wish you Happy Christmas. We don't wish you. We are not wishing you Happy Christmas at all. Because there is nothing for you to be happy about Christmas. Even Christians now come to say that Christmas is idolatry. So why should a Muslim now wish you Happy Christmas? Your fellow Christian is not wishing you Happy Christmas. Why should you expect a Muslim? Alaykum salam. Well, it should have been from the issues to be raised. If a man makes a rupiah to a woman, like he said, the husband is there, and even when the husband is there, they are not in any segregation. The woman is just there, the person is reading the Quran. The woman is well dressed. Not like the one that went to, the rupiah is in one room. And the person went there, and he saw what he did not like. His being almost got spoiled. But mere reading Quran, because that is the meaning of rukyah, reading Quran and other accounts that are established in the Sunnah. That is the meaning of rukyah. So if that happens to a person, a man reads that to a woman,
Although the best person to do it to is her husband. If the husband tells us that he cannot read Falak and not to his wife, then shame on him. Yes, I know a brother like that. The wife, for a long time, she had problems of jinn. When they are walking on the street, the jinn will begin to affect the woman. He will quickly grab her and will be reciting to her. She will get wet and they continue to move again. She said, "Nikabi." In Medina, in Ramadan, before the last Ramadan, a woman got possessed. Her husband was there, or her brother. She was undressing herself. The man just grabbed her. I was here, I wasn't told. The man grabbed her and was reciting Ruqya to her. And when people were coming, he was telling them to do what? Go away, go away. He grabbed her. You see, he is either her brother or her father or her husband. But most likely, he appears to be her brother because the woman is looking a bit older, fatter, bulky than him. So she was undressing herself. Myself and my sister, well, look at this one. Police came. The man was telling police to go away. He was telling everybody, go, go, go. And he was making ruqya to her. Ruqya is not something that has to be Suratul Baqarah. If you don't know Baqarah, you know Falak and Nas. If you don't now know Falak and Nas, then you are in trouble. You yourself. But it's not too late. It's a trouble you can get out of by learning it. Before tomorrow morning, you can learn Falak and Nas. Tuna ududu rabbi falak, nion sharri ma falak. وَمِنْ شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبْ وَمِنْ شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدْ وَمِنْ شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدْ. So when you now say a woman has got married to a man who doesn't know Falak and Nas, the first person who blame is she herself. So that man now has to go and look for another man's husband to come and read Falak and Nas to her. The husband has not done well at all. But when the case goes down, down, and down to that extent, the husband doesn't know even Suratul Fatiha. Because Suratul Fatiha is also Ruqya. Fatiha alone. The husband will know that one. Or he may not know too. So, but if the case is so down, sometimes people know these things. It has happened to me before. You'll be reading that chapter 15 times, it will not come. Because of intense fear and anxiety that has gripped the husband. The husband has been gripped with fear and anxiety. You'll be reading Fatiha as if he's reading Ali Imran. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Subhanahu Rabbika, he will touch again. It is Fatiha, he's reading you. So in that case, if we have a good brother around, and the woman is well dressed in the presence of the husband, the other person can recite. No, you don't have to place your hand on the person's head. You don't have to say you grab the head, or grab the leg, or grab the hand. Don't grab another man's wife's hand. Just sit down calmly. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. A'udhu billahi as-sami'il 'alim. من الشيطان الرجيم من همزه ونفخه ونفثه بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين بكاف الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. I've seen it before. Surah Al-Fatiha alone, the woman was tongue. Till today, she does not know what tongue her. She knew she was tongue and there were two points near themselves on her leg. It was in the night. There was no electricity. And the husband did not have a car. And the leg was swollen. She started shouting, "Abu, Abu, my leg is swelling." The husband grabbed the leg and recited Surah Al-Fatiha. Wallahi, before he had Layla Mazuri alayhi wa la darling, the venom started to flow down from the leg of the sister. Wallahi, I've seen this one. The venom of the snake started to, or whatever, the venom started to flow down from the leg, and that was the end of it. Brothers, he was the husband, so it's not only Barakallah, like Barakallah, that is Nikah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك امين عليكم السلام